Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
We're still here, and it's Monday. Yes. You know how we do it, a big matchup, you know, featuring Tom Brady and the Bucks versus the Giants. I will say this, though, okay? The Giants will show up to the arena, but will they show out? Was that mean? Or was that fair?
It's true.
Thank you, Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pensola Performance Lines. Jhené Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr., Notre Dame offensive line, star, stud. He's obviously going to get a set for, you know, what will be a interesting matchup also in college football, you know, in the next few days. But now, in a few minutes, though, I mean, we'll get to tonight's David and Goliath in the NFL, right? I feel like that's a fair comparison as well, Jr., right?
It's a fair comparison. That's the fair comparison, Jhené. The comparison that is not fair is the one that I really want to talk about involving Tom Brady right now in the NFL. It's getting out of hand right now, the stuff with him and Bill Belichick.
I'm excited.
I can't do it anymore.
I'm excited. We'll get to that in like 10 minutes. But first, okay, let's rewind things and talk about last night, or should I say afternoon, wherever you are. The Steelers, they stay undefeated, taking out the reigning MVP in Lamar Jackson and the Ravens by forcing a career-high 4 turnovers on the quarterback. Now, the Steelers are the only undefeated left. Best record for a couple of years, you know, for the Steelers. They're starting off really strong. But the Kansas City Chiefs, I think in the big scheme of things, the big picture, they still reign in your eyes, right, Junior?
They do. And Jhené, that was probably my biggest takeaway from that game. So often we end up doing the who did we learn more about in a given game? And I think that's fair with these two teams. But the one thing that became evident was we've seen flaws on both. The Pittsburgh Steelers have the ability to overcome in a lot of ways. They might be the most resilient team in pro football right now, but I still don't think we can consider them the best, knowing what the Kansas City Chiefs are fully capable of. And I think that was the biggest takeaway from this matchup from a team that wasn't even on the field.
Yeah, the Kansas City offense is built to be explosive, to be daring, to maximize on their talent, while the Steelers, they won despite totaling 48 yards rushing and 5.1 yards per pass attempt. So it's really interesting to see how this team is able to just figure out different ways to win, whether it's being conservative with Ben and his arm or just being able to grind it out on, you know, running the ball. But like you saw how low those numbers are, but still find ways to win. I'm just like a little bit more curious because in most situations when you have an undefeated team, you're like, all right, you're building some kind of momentum. But I feel like there's such a comfort level when it comes to the Chiefs because, hey, we've seen them multiple times this season. They're down. Who cares? They're up. Who cares? They just have that talent. Do you think that that is actually enough? Like they're going to turn a whole different dial up when it comes to the playoffs? Or do you think they're good to just keep exploiting and finding different ways, because we're seeing different ways of the Chiefs winning, whether it's, you know, Patrick Mahomes going, well, I guess it was the Jets, right?
Yeah. And like, but you know, Jhené, and that's a fair point. Like, I understand who it's come against. I understand the games they've struggled in, but I just saw a stat earlier today. I think already Tyreek Hill has tied Randy Moss for 40 plus yard completions right now. I think they're tied on that number, and Tyreek Hill is 26 years old. Like, that's the ultimate howitzer. That's the ultimate weapon that this Chiefs team has in tow, because the Steelers know who they are. Mike Tomlin is one of the most self-aware coaches. This team understands its identity. They're right now, I think, fifth in time of possession in the NFL. They've used their short passing game as a pseudo-running game. They've eaten that up, and they've let their defense go to work like it's done in the last couple of games. But Mike Tomlin even got up after this game and was very frank about assessing his team, even in a win.
We did not play well today. We lack detail in a lot of areas, and when you're playing good people, man, you're going to be up against it when you don't play good. We can't allow the emotions of the moment for us to miss that fact. I am proud of these guys. I am proud of their fight. I am proud of how they supported one another, but it's important that we don't lie to ourselves. We did not function well in a lot of ways today.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Keep reminding you to hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed at Mike Golic Jr., at Jhené. And Jhené, I think what I see with the Steelers is this. This is a team with a really high floor, right? This is a team that, because of Mike Tomlin, his understanding, the veteran nature of the offense led by Ben Roethlisberger, and a defense that is one of the best in the league right now. Incredible floor in here. But they can't touch the ceiling that Kansas City has in this because of the way they've decided to do business this year. We know how Ben's done it in the past, but fewer air yards than he's ever thrown this year for a number of different reasons. He's an older quarterback coming off an elbow injury, and so they're going to have a chance, absolutely, because this ball control style of offense, the crushing defense they throw the other side, We've seen it work against the Kansas City Chiefs in the past, but ultimately the Chiefs can just do things right now that other people can't offensively, and that's why they're never going to be out, and that's why they're always going to be favored still.
But what about within the division, okay, the AFC North? When you look at the Ravens, obviously this was a prime opportunity, and we talked about it a little bit earlier. Hey, this was an opportunity to reshape that narrative where Lamar is the head of your team and you can win a big game. Do you think that this is one of those things where it's like, oh, nail in the coffin with this argument, or do you think it's more so, I feel like it was more so the Steelers, like you said, having this higher floor, and the Ravens just trying to scratch the surface of what can Lamar's ceiling be? Like, how can we tap into that area of success? Do you think it was more Steelers than it was Ravens? Because a lot of people are pinpointing Lamar Jackson as a reason. You know, mind you, he had four turnovers and it was not easy. He didn't help himself in the case. I do think that there is a lot of pressure on him, and that's what people sort of focus on instead of the big win.
Lamar Jackson had a rough outing, full stop, period. Like, we can all acknowledge that. And I saw the stat earlier today. Since 2019, against teams above 500, they have had, in the 2019 regular season, they were 6-1. Since then, 0-3. Total QBR in the 2019 regular season, 81. Since then, 25. Turnovers total in the 2019 regular season, 2. Since then, 8. So it's been a bit of a struggle for a number of reasons. They lost their best offensive lineman in Ronnie Stanley during the course of this game. We know they're still searching to try and get consistency from the outside and their receivers in the passing game. All those things can be true, but Chiney, it's such a short sample size. I'm not willing to say it's a big game Lamar problem just yet, because we saw him win the MVP of the bleeping league last year, and yet we still hear things like this. This is from Keyshawn Johnson, co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, earlier today, who brought this up, comparing Lamar Jackson to another AFC quarterback in Josh Allen.
I trust Josh Allen, but I'd rather have Lamar, because Lamar could do a lot of different things that could scare you to a degree, where Josh Allen, I feel like I could dial some stuff up to protect us as an offensive coordinator from him not making the mistake, where when I look at Lamar, I don't have to dial the passing up because I can use his legs to get what I need.
If you put Josh Allen on Baltimore, are they still 5-2 this year?
No, they're not. They're probably, they probably drop one or two games more because of what Lamar does with his legs. But when I get into the month of December, the January better yet, and I need Lamar, who's double digits down, to push the envelope to put us back in a situation to tie or go ahead, I don't know that he can do it, not only with his arm, but also with the weapons that surround him.
Chiney and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. If the insinuation there is somehow that in the playoffs you would trust Josh Allen more than Lamar Jackson, I cannot co-sign that, and I will not co-sign that. But
same.
Having questions about that way, the way this team operates, Chiney, when it's down, when it's behind, is, I think, a question we can ask about most football teams. We just talked about what Kansas City is capable of here. Lamar Jackson in this passing attack being the focal point of the offense and not working in concert with what the rest of it does with their quarterback rushing elements, with that potential indecision you create for defense, that's a fair criticism. And quite frankly, this team on its best day shouldn't operate as a pure passing attack. You wouldn't want that because it's selling short the best parts of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when I'm hearing this, I'm like, both guys, you know, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, have much to rewrite when it comes to what they did last year in the playoffs, right? But Lamar also was MVP. And I look at a tweet that, because I know you're all over Twitter, and Hollywood Brown, did you see what he tweeted and deleted, though? But I feel like we should still read it. What's the point of having soldiers? He spelled it like soldiers, which I actually appreciate, when you never use them. And so obviously there's a little discord inside, just because I think some people feel like they should be valued too, and not be looking through as like, okay, we have to funnel this one strength and make it work, which is lean into Lamar's strength. You know, people want to spread the love. So I saw that. I was like, oh, it was deleted though. So
yeah,
team first.
And that's going to be really interesting, Chiney, because that's the one thing we haven't seen from any of this Baltimore locker room really since Lamar got there. Because remember, he came into that situation and was backing up Joe Flacco when he first got there. And since then, it's been unanimous support. That's the thing that the Bills and the Ravens have in common, is it's been unanimous support and buy-in around both of their star quarterbacks. Both organizations, I think, have done an exemplary job of that in a very similar way. But you're right, big trust. Like, I mean, having Mark Ingram in that locker room, that guy, I was with the Saints for a short time when he was there, one of the ultimate locker room guys. Like, we saw the effect he's had on both teams right now. Very rarely does this Ravens locker room have to deal with that. We saw them just send Earl Thomas out of there, send him packing for acting up in that locker room in a way that wasn't tolerated. So how they handle this, going to be very, very interesting going forward. Shanae, couldn't agree more with that. But coming up next, I got to disagree with a lot of people who want to make broad, sweeping assumptions about the Tom Brady versus Bill Belichick debate that everyone wants to spark up right now. We'll get to that next. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus in about a week. Now, in about 10 minutes, we will chat with our own NFL analyst who will tell us what to make of the Patriots changing of the guard and all the drama that ensues. But right now, we have so much to get into with Monday Night Football, at least on one side, okay? The Buccaneers taking on the Giants. Now, Monday Night Football kickoff is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Now, before we get to your big sweeping take on Tom Brady and all the conversations that he has sort of caused based on the Patriots' struggles and the Buccaneers' success, let's do the New York Giants a solid, because we are a professional show. We are fair media members. So let's do the Giants a solid really quick before, you know, Junior gets to his big Tom Brady take. What are you expecting from the Giants, Junior? I guess that's the wrong question to ask. What are you looking for from the Giants?
My prognosis? Pain. It's not. Like, listen, it's not going to go well. What am I looking for the Giants is, honestly, are they going to do anything before the trade deadline tomorrow? Is Golden Tate someone that is hanging out there right now that a team like the Green Bay Packers could be looking for at wide receiver, trying to get more weapons for Aaron Rodgers down the stretch here? But this team, it's had too many losses on the injury front over the course of the season. They missed at the top of the draft. There's just not a lot of ways to look at it with Andrew Baker, their left tackle. So, Andrew Thomas. I'm thinking of a different tackle. Andrew Thomas missing at the top of that draft. Saquon Barkley going down. All these things that have just made it too difficult. So I think for the Giants right now, you continue to go out there. Joe Judge in year one has got to continue to develop in Daniel Jones, try to eliminate some of the turnovers that go on there. And then they've got to figure out as an organization, are they going to keep letting Dave Gettleman buy the groceries for this team as they go forward? Or have there been too many of these misses now for them to go and rely on him?
Now, the crazy thing is, a part of our show, Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, we have, like, Giants Nation. Our producer Shannon is a Giants fan, and Devin is a Giants fan. Where's your mind at, Devin, you know, going into tonight?
The same has been the last couple of weeks. Just play hard, you know? And they have been doing that. They're not going to win, you know what I mean? But play hard. Show me that you're interested in playing, and hope for the best.
That's all you can do, honestly.
It's a sad state of affairs.
So sad. Okay, why don't you brighten it up, Junior? Because I know you have this idea about Tom Brady, because everyone's talking about, oh, maybe it was more of the quarterback than the coach. And I know you feel some type of way about it all.
Yeah, it's been real interesting here, Shanae, just seeing all these things now trying to retroact. And we knew this was going to happen. Like, we looked forward to this day partially as a sports talk gas bag. And in the gas bag community, we look forward to finally being able to do this, knowing full and damn good and damn well Tom Brady is 43 years old, so it wasn't going to be a perfect look at it. Bill Belichick and this Patriots team, for all the reasons we talked about with Bill Barnwell earlier on the show, our ESPN NFL writer, about how they had mismanaged the top end of their draft for the last handful of years, how they had lost out really on the haul they got from the Chandler Jones trade, from the Jimmy Garoppolo trade, that all led to a roster now that is not ready to be competitive in the ways that the Tampa Bay roster that Tom Brady went to are. So I feel like using the current situation to go back and say one way or another, well, Tom was way more important to the Patriots than we gave him credit for in this one, or vice versa, is a fool's errand. It is fun, but it is silly. And so I will allow everyone to have fun as long as we're under the guise that we're not actually taking this seriously, because we know these aren't even circumstances on either side of this that we could judge these things by.
Yeah, because the reality is, and we've outlined this in millions of different ways, and Bill Barnwell literally outlined it on ESPN.com as he shared with us earlier today, the Patriots are dealing with a lot of different things, and a lot of those different things aren't working in their favor. Meanwhile, the Bucs are dealing with a lot of different things, and a lot of what they're dealing with are working in their favor, meaning they're getting people back healthier. Well, with the exception of Chris Godwin, now you're also having a situation where you get Antonio Brown. And so, yeah, there are a lot of things that work towards the Bucs and Tom Brady in this situation that are working against, you know, Cam Newton and Bill Belichick in New England. So I feel like you have to put that context on it before you say, see, I told you this whole time, Tom Brady the answer, which for a large portion he is. What we've seen with the Patriots is that, hey, like the ability for him to close and mask those weaknesses and exploit those weaknesses that the defense was showing him, that was his gift. And it's not easy to implement that in 1 year with a new player, a player that has completely different strengths, especially in this season that's so competitive.
Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chiné Agumike. And I couldn't agree more, Chiné. These ecosystems tend to be so fragile in the NFL year over year. That's why what the Patriots did for the last 10 is insane. That's why looking at it now and trying to make some indictment about what went into the soup then is also a fool's errand in this. Like you just mentioned, what Tom Brady walked into right now might be the best weapons he's had since the 2007 Patriots.
And a pairing team. Defense that's working.
Balling, which is also partially what he had in New England for so many years. They had a defense last year that we were comparing to the 85 Bears for the first half of the season. They had a linebacker core so good it had a nickname, and they're all gone. Everyone is gone. But the cool part about all this has been Bill Belichick hears all the talking. We rarely hear Bill out here. The last time we heard Bill Belichick talk about this much was Deflategate, going out here when he became a scientist for like a week and was up in the press conference talking about PSI and whatnot. And he went on WEEI and he said earlier, I mean, look, this is a quote from Bill Belichick. I mean, look, we paid Cam Newton $1 million. It's obvious that we didn't have any money. It's nobody's fault. That's what we did the last 5 years. We sold out, we won 3 Super Bowls, we played in a fourth, and played in an AFC championship game. Period. Now, that's a balling quote. It's no one's fault is not exactly true, because Bill Belichick also wears the GM hat in this one. So Bill made those decisions. Bill had a hand in who they drafted and all this. But his point remains, we did all this understanding we had an aging Tom Brady. We did all this understanding we had put ourselves in a situation with some calculated risks that didn't work out. Antonio Brown and some others that we're still paying for at this point in time. And it worked out for us overwhelmingly. So again, if we want to talk about going forward, great. But if we want to look back and try and say one way or the other, one of these guys is more important, Chiné, you're a current player. I'm a former player. I always believe that the players deserve more credit. You win games with players, and any good coach will tell you that. But this coach and what he's done as a GM and a coach is freak show and deserves respect still.
Okay, sir. You get your own snaps? Yeah. So basically you're telling us, don't look back at it.
Oh, my God. That's the Monday Night Football preview, and it's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. You have Chiné. Listen, we've done well. We're still here. It's a Monday. We managed to survive, and it is amazing as we get further and further into this how sooner and sooner we get to the edge of the rails in this whole thing. So
yeah,
we're trying to find a way to survive.
And we'll bring Mina in to sort of set us straight before we get on the rails again when we keep that same energy.
That is true. Coming up next, we talk to one of the best professionals at our company, a podcast host extraordinaire, an NFL analyst, and ask her why she screamed at me at the draft when the Seahawks drafted DK Metcalf. That's all coming up next. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Chiné Agumike, Mike Golic Jr. here with you. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. Now, in a few minutes on this family-friendly show, okay, we will talk about the coolest thing that happened for a family in college football in the most unexpected way, which was super cool, so cute. But first, let's head back to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, because we are hyped to be joined by our own ESPN NFL analyst, co-host of NFL Live, mother to Lenny. Make sure you check out the podcast, Mina Kimes. Now, Mina, I'm going to pass a lob to my better half, Junior, because there was a video that I loved and just saw on your feed from the draft, and Junior may still have some issues with it.
Yeah.
What's the deal there?
Well, Mina, you posted earlier a throwback to the NFL draft from last year when the other year when the Seattle Seahawks selected DK Metcalf at the end of the second round, and you screamed very loudly at me during that process. You claim that you feel bad about that. Do you really? Because I think the answer is no.
A little bit.
That's a no.
A little bit. Yeah, I mean, the genuine fear in your eyes really jumps out upon rewatching. But you knew what you were getting into.
This is a fair point. I have learned to both fear and respect Mina Kimes for a lot of those reasons, one of which being you had the foresight to see what DK Metcalf would become in that spot, Mina. There's been so much talk in the last few days about how did people manage to miss what we saw here. Do you think there's any discernible answer, or is this just further proof of what an exact science the draft is?
It's a mixture, I think, of people probably overrating certain characteristics. Obviously, the agility drills, the combine for Metcalf, and you know, overlooking some of the, I think, what could be with him. I mean, the combination of physical tools is so rare, but I think, you know, people aren't wrong to look at the lack of college production and have some concerns, as well as the injury history that he had at Ole Miss. So it doesn't seem like one of those all-time crazy misses, like on the level of like a Russell Wilson, where it's so obvious that his height was the only reason why he was drafted in the third round. With DK, I think there was some actual legitimate concerns based on the college tape. That said, the reason I was so happy, I didn't see him becoming what he is, which is, you know, arguably a top five receiver in the NFL, or at least has that ceiling. I just liked where they got him in the second round. I thought that was incredible value.
Here with Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, also host of NFL Live, one of the co-hosts there on Chanae and Golic Jr. Now, back to yesterday when it came to the Steelers and the Ravens, Mina, because, you know, it's so funny. Being on the West Coast, it's like football and brunch, right? People have mimosas and watch their football because it's a 10 a.m. start. But still, like, the drama was there. Everyone was up to watch this. And if you're on the East Coast, obviously, you're primed. You're ready there right after lunch. Regardless, you know, this is a food-friendly show. Regardless of your food appetite, whenever you're watching this game, you're taking away that the Steelers were obviously dominant. Like, and Junior today even brought out this notion that they have such a high floor, where there's the Kansas City Chiefs have like a high ceiling. Where do you see this team as an undefeated and also its ranks in the big picture of the NFL?
I think that's a good way to put it. You know, they're very balanced, and they're more balanced, I think you could say, than the Chiefs. Although the Chiefs have a sneaky good pass defense, but the Steelers' defense is better. I just think the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes have a higher ceiling than any team in the NFL. That includes the Seahawks, the Steelers, the Bucks. Those are the four teams right now that I see as the four best teams in the league. Now, I still have the Chiefs as number one purely because of that ceiling, but I think the Steelers and the Bucks are right behind them, with the Seahawks probably rounding out at number four.
Mina Kimes with us here on Chanae and Golic Jr., ESPN NFL analyst. And Mina, in that grouping there, I feel like if this was 3 or 4 weeks ago, we would have been talking about the Buffalo Bills in that spot there, and then we saw them narrowly get past a struggling Patriots team. What's been the issue in Buffalo as of late for this team?
Well, the defense is not good. They're not really good at anything right now, I think. This is a defense that took a big step back from last season, particular. Well, I was going to say just the pass defense, but the run defense you really saw against New England struggled as well. And for the first few weeks of the season, the outstanding play of the offense and Josh Allen in particular, you know, was compensating for that. But Josh Allen's come back to earth a little bit. Now, he hasn't played poorly. I think it would be unfair to lay these losses on him. I really think it's, you know, not losses, but they won, of course. But
it feels like that, though.
It feels like it, yeah. You know, but they don't have a good defense, and I think you're realizing that the offense has to, I wouldn't say be perfect, but play at a very high level to compensate for that against good teams. And that's what you've seen teams like Seattle, or until last week, Green Bay do. You know, it's overcome their struggling defenses, and the Bills haven't been able to do that, which is why the Seahawks-Bills game this weekend is so fascinating, because I don't think either of these defenses, which probably until this year you think of as being the strength of these teams, neither of them have been very good, and it really falls upon the shoulders of the two quarterbacks to carry their teams.
Now, Mina, staying with the AFC East, normally that is clearly dominated by the Patriots, but now there is a changing of the guard with Buffalo out there getting wins, even though it feel like losses in some ways, and maybe Miami, you know, with some energy, especially now with Tua Tagovailoa, you know, coming in at quarterback. How did you evaluate his performance? Clearly bumpy from the start, but still getting a win, which is good.
Yeah, you know, he didn't really do anything. I mean, I'm not being too hard on him because he's a rookie. It was his first start, and he had to go up against Aaron Donald. I mean, he was getting that ball out real quick and not really, you know, airing it out much at all. It wasn't a good performance. It didn't have to be because the defense played so well. And I think right now that's the story of the Miami Dolphins, is this Brian Flores coach defense is the best in the division. It's not particularly close, quite frankly. So I think the defense is good enough to sustain a period where Tua can develop, but he's going to have to play better than he did on Sunday for them to be a playoff team.
Mina Kimes with us, host of the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. Wherever you get your podcast, you see her on NFL Live here on ESPN at 4 o'clock Eastern during the week. And Mina, last one, we got the trade deadline coming up tomorrow. Obviously, the Green Bay Packers, we've talked about them not going out and getting Aaron Rodgers' weapons this offseason. The 49ers going to be dealing without Jimmy G and their tight end George Kittle for a while now. Those two in there as well, but I'll give you your pick. Are there any contenders right now that you think should absolutely be working to be buyers at the deadline?
Yes, Baltimore needs a receiver. That was one of my big takeaways from the Ravens-Steelers game. I mean, Lamar's turnovers were why they lost, but and frankly, they could probably bolster their offensive line as well. I don't know if there's many attractive targets in that regard, but I really think they need an additional weapon for him. It's the second cheapest offense in football, and it looks like it this season. So that's a team, in addition to Green Bay, that I think should be looking at some of the pass catchers potentially on the market.
Great stuff as always. Again, check out the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcast. Check out NFL Live at 4 Eastern here on ESPN each and every day. Mina, we appreciate it.
Thanks, Mina.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, it's the Baltimore Ravens, Janae, which goes back to the tweet that you brought up before, a now-deleted tweet from one Hollywood Brown who seems a little bit disgruntled with the way that he is maybe being used in that Baltimore offense.
Yeah, I don't know if he'd be a big fan of adding another weapon. He's like, yo, you're good with me. Just try me.
Help me.
Help me.
I am
Help
here.
You. Help me. Help you.
It can be that easy, at least according to Hollywood Brown. All right, so as we try and sort out what gets ready to happen going towards the NFL trade deadline tomorrow, what the Giants are going to do in Monday Night Football against the Buccaneers tonight. Coming up next, I want to revisit with you, Janae, the biggest feel-good moment of the weekend. Hell, maybe one of the biggest feel-good moments of the season. That's Ooh. Next. It's Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Big ELE energy on this show. Everyone loves everyone. So we got to show the crew some love here on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Janae Ogunwike, Mike Golic Jr., your people right here with you. And big thanks to Bill Barnwell, our own ESPN NFL writer, who painted the picture about the Patriots dynasty in decline. Mina Kimes, NFL Live co-host, who told us whether Tua Tagovailoa moved the needle in his first start or not. I don't know why I'm being a little shady with these things today. And speaking of the crew, your girl, Janae, will not be here tomorrow because I will be flying home to Houston right after the show right now to work as a poll worker for the election back in Harris County. So I just wanted to give everyone a heads up. If you're looking for me tomorrow, I will be calling in later on in the show to update you on a big, big day for all of us. And that's how I'm trying to get back a little bit.
A lot of very important work. You've been part of the More Than a Vote group and campaign and helping set things up there. So it's exciting. It's an important day and it's important work that you've been a part of. Obviously, what everyone did inside the W bubble going towards these efforts. A lot of these have been stuff you're working on for a while. So I have to imagine it's pretty exciting to watch all of this come together and to be a part of that.
Yeah, it's been a really educational experience, like understanding you go in and you vote and normally you're like, oh, these are just great people. It's like, no, these are typically older people that need help, especially in this time of pandemic where people are staying home. So next man or woman up. And so I decided to fly home. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited to go through the experience as, you know, a public servant for a day. But you know, your girl will call in, and I'll check in with y'all tomorrow as well.
Absolutely. We will check in on you doing the important work of the week here. We know everybody's certainly looking forward to going out and doing their responsibility as part of democracy tomorrow. So get out and vote. Do the right thing on that. Show up early, show up often if you haven't already gotten your ballots in. And make sure your voice is heard. It's the most important thing that we can all do right now. And in that, I mean, hell, keep that energy. We talk about that here all the time. That is the realest version of keeping that energy that we can possibly endorse around here. It's been really nice to see people lifting up their voices, people in athletics getting involved in that way. So as we're rocking with that energy, let's keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Janae, we got a real cool one that came up over the course of this weekend. Joe Tessitore, who does great work as a part of our college football coverage, does great work on boxing. You've heard him in the Monday Night Football booth before. One of the premier voices in play-by-play and announcing in all of sports, I think, was on the call this weekend as Boston College played Clemson. Had a unique element to it. Joe Tessitore's son is a player for Boston College, and he was involved in a pivotal moment of BC's upset bid against Clemson. It ultimately fell short, but it gave us this moment in the process. Here was Joe Tessitore's son on a special teams play forcing an offsides that his dad got to call from the booth. Listen to this.
So Aaron Bumeri on for the 40-yard field goal attempt. As they split out, Danny Dalton's a fake. Tessitore is under center on fourth and two, and he got him to come off sides. John Tessitore came up and played quarterback at the last second, and they may get a first down out of this. How about that on fourth and two? He has played every position growing up, from prep quarterback, receiver. He's pulled off multiple
offside
fakes.
Defense with contact. 5-yard penalty results in the first down.
And he did it here. He split out the tight end, went under center, played quarterback, and drew Clemson offsides.
Wow. What a great call by Jeff Hafley. And I know you had to really grind on the week of prep to find out all the detailed history.
I'm trying,
about
brother.
John Tessitore, your
I'm
son.
Trying.
I know you're so proud of him. And what a huge play there from BC's field goal unit.
Janae, I got to play with my brother in college. I got to do a radio show with my dad. You're a teammate of your sister's now in Los Angeles. I don't know how Joe kept it together there.
I would have lost it. I'd be like, yeah, yeah, son, yes, do that. So, yeah, that was really, honestly, more impressive than the play was him being able to keep it all together while he watched his son. Like, even to talk about your son in, like, normal terms, John, Tess, like, that's not even normal for family. So he really was buttoned up, but that was beautiful to see.
It really was. John, his son, was the holder on that play, went up and executed a fake on that field goal, got Clemson to jump off sides as BC was leading at the beginning part of that game. John's a redshirt sophomore, serves as a kicker and a punter for Boston College, and got to author one of the unique moments in a game that was really tight for a while, and certainly a unique moment that him and his dad are going to get to talk about for a good long while now. So congrats to Joe Tess on that one. Congrats to John on executing the hell out of that play. Really cool to watch for them both.
Yeah, and a cute little photo after, too, on social.
Very, very cute. We also saw another cute photo. Now that we've gotten the nice, you know, very mushy stuff out of the way on this, saw a pretty cool move on Twitter from John Lester. John Lester, who may have pitched his last game for the Cubs this last season, we're not sure, but he's a free agent and decided if he was going to go out, he was going to go out on a high note with fans. John Lester bought beers for patrons over Halloween weekend at four different Chicago bars. He tweeted out his tab, which included a 34% tip, the same number that he wore for his uniform. Between Friday and Sunday, John Lester spent $47,000 on beers, including $31,000 on Miller Lights and $16,000 on gratuity here. His Monday tweet came forth on the anniversary of the Cubs winning the World Series, their first in 108 years. He was the co-MVP of the NLCS. Chinay, if you're going to go out, $47,000 worth of beer seems like a pretty cool thank you to the fans of Chicago.
Everybody gets a beer. It's like that Oprah moment. You get a beer. You get a beer. You get a beer. Think about how many beers were out. Like, beers aren't expensive.
No, and Chiney, you know what? I'm glad part of it was the gratuity, but you're right. It reminded me, you remember when Cleveland was doing that, that with the Browns waiting to get a win, they had the cases of Bud Light chained open, ready to go anywhere? Few things as cool as a beer giveaway, few things as cool as a beer thank you here. So if you're
I feel like you're going to see more of those in the future.
We can only hope. Maybe we can make that a thing around here. I don't know if I can talk about it like that, but it'd be nice to reward everybody like that. What a kind way to say thank you in all of this.
I'm here for it.
And I'm sure responsibly everyone mix in a water there. We all know that's cool. Chiney, you're a big fan of
hydrating,
mixing in water along the way. So we can support all those things. And we will support again. Chiney going to be out working the polls tomorrow in Houston. So Chiney, good luck with that. Good job out of you. We're all proud of you around here.
Thank you. I'll try to hold it down.
Chiney is going to hold it down around there. We're going to try and hold it down tomorrow. See what the aftermath of Monday Night Football looks like. As we get ready for that, stick with ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz has you next.
Thanks for listening to Chiney and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.